service leading. So very sophisticated the way he used. And but we can tell we need to fill this room, right? They need more people to benefit from this. We try to appreciate your prayer. We try to invite some high schooler, Chinese high schooler in Albany High, to come to the first service. But you know that for the young people, it's very challenging. It's 9:30 on Sunday morning. Almost take a miracle. But we expect miracle nowadays. Amen? Are you okay? Okay. Yeah. Mr. Excellence in the back. Okay. We have some time for give thanks to the Lord. A few minutes. If you have anything to share, you can raise your hand. I give you a mic. You can share. Okay.
Ricky, you're doing such a great job. I'm wondering when you're going to encourage us to face each other as we experience down at the Hermitage. Hassan made this. I don't know if you want, looking for gifted people, she could do a little sewing during the New Year's, but she just gave this to my wife, and it's a little cold, so I put it on. I had two big surprises this week that I wanted to share. I think they're clearly surprises from God. One is related to Mickey. If you guys, most of you know who Mickey is. He's blind, poor, living with a family member who's an alcoholic, and there's some drugs in the family. And anyway, without going through his whole story, but to keep it short, he had asked me, he's been kind of grumbling and complaining for months to find new housing. And he's pretty much exhausted, right, all his sources. He had come up with me for, it was a couple years ago, and he was supposed to be here for me with a month, right? He just, and then he was going to move, and he ended up staying with me for a year and a half. I couldn't get him out of the house, but he finally did move. And then he moved in with his son up in Northern California, and that was supposed to be a blessing, but it ended really badly, and they're not talking. And so now he's with another family member, and that's just a mess. So when he asked me a couple weeks ago to post not just to look for housing, right, down in Southern California, but he wanted me to actually put an ad that said, you know, I'm a semi-retired blind massage therapist seeking housing and some assistance, right? So we went back and forth. And so when he asked me to do that, I was in my spirit, I said, no, I'm not. This is like, I don't want to do this. This is a waste of time. You know, who's going to respond to this kind of ad, right? But the Holy Spirit said, don't give up. Don't give up on this guy. And, you know, there's a clear need here. So I obediently just took his instructions, and then we went back and forth more than five times getting the post right. And I sent it, and he asked me to send it again and again and again, and it's like I'm grumbling. So we finally post it, right, about a week ago. And as soon as it gets posted, he shares with his other family members he's got the post out here, and then he comes back to me and says, hey, I want you to change it again. I thought we went through this five times, and, you know, so I just said, okay, I'll do it. It's a good thing that God answers prayer. So it turns out that there was a woman that responded who's in her mid-40s that has a daughter that's in her 20s that's also blind, that has a nice home where he was looking, and agreed basically to take him in. And the great news is that she's a devout believer, and she's already bringing him to his church today called the Water of Life down in Fontana. So that is a big surprise. God hasn't given up on him, and he answered Mickey's prayers and mine. So, yeah, God loves him, and he knows it. So the second big surprise relates to my beloved Rebecca, my Ruth, my wife Angela. I don't know, when is the last time your spouse asked you to sit down and read the Bible? Has any of your spouses in the last few months said, hey, can we sit down and read the Bible together? Cindy and Marlene, that's great. Well, my beloved wife asked me to do that. And I have to include Robert, Scott, and Cindy in this story because several months ago, you know how Robert gives out, which I believe sometimes, at least in my flesh, these hokey little things like T-shirts and old CDs, and I'm going, well, one day he handed one out, which was a Serendipity Bible, right? That was in my flesh. I qualified that. And Cindy grabbed this Serendipity Bible, right? Well, my wife, she kind of like, there was something about that Bible my wife really wanted. So behind the scenes, at the end of that service, I ended up, my wife instructed me to go snatch that Bible from Cindy when she wasn't looking. So anyway, it's a really good Bible that's got a lot of good topical things in there, one of which is marriage. And so for the last four nights, my wife and I have had 90-minute sessions looking at the story of Isaac and Rebecca and how that marriage came together with God's, you know, favor. Looking at the story of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz and studying James and how blessed it is when we go through trials, right? And then last night, Ephesians, in terms of how the husband and the wives represent, right, the groom and the bride, the church and Christ. And so it was really sweet because last night she said at the very end, which I wasn't planning on, right? This is a Saturday night, and it was after a Warriors game. The night before the Warriors were on, and she and I. What's another miracle or a surprise is that I was willing to actually do it in the middle of a Warriors game. I think that it was sweet last night. I wasn't expecting her to come to me, and not tonight, okay? I'm playing basketball. I'm going to be tired tonight. So tonight we're going to, today's a day of rest. We don't have to do it tonight. But last night she said, so how am I supposed to submit to you? What am I supposed to do? And I was like, wow. Sometimes my wife asks me these really hard questions. But the Holy Spirit said, well, sweetie, you've got the Holy Spirit in you, so ask the Holy Spirit and he will guide you. He's a wonderful counselor. So anyway, those are two big surprises, Ricky, that God had for me this week, and I give him thanks.
I'd like to hear the wife respond. Can you share a little bit about what he said?
Oh, actually, you know, since Scott, the mommy introduced the Candy Crush, so since I have a problem with my anger, so my husband's always asked me to do the anger management. I ignore him. But this doesn't help me because I don't really, twist my mind or go any deeper. So, you know, as soon as I put my hand on the Candy Crush, I forget everything. Because I'm so focused, you know. So then that's going through almost 1 year. And Scott cannot say words because that's his mother introduced me that game. And a few days ago, in the 2nd of January, and I think a little upset with something with my husband. But I don't keep a wrong record. So this I just know I'm a little upset. So then I put my Candy Crush. And then I got the rewards because the Happy New Year, so I got 2 hours the free. You know, normally right now the level is pretty high. I only can play one game, five games. If I finish, no blood. Okay. And then now and that day and you know I played 2 hours and after that and I go sleep, and I'm tired. I was very tired. But then as soon as I closed my eyes, then all the Candy Crush came up into my mind, you know. Oh, how like, shoo, you know, something like this. And I get upset. Then I feel Holy Spirit talk to me, says, that's how wonderful. If you close your eyes, you can memorize my words, you know, instead of a Candy Crush. Then I said, I don't like the words. So I turn over my back. And then that the whole night, you know, I was repeat and then tell me that's, you know, be wonderful. And you can, if you can meditate on the God words instead of a Candy Crush. And you know, in the general, if I really have a hard time, you know, then I go back to the Candy Crush. Then I shift the focus when my eyes cannot hard open, then I slept, right? So that is something I can overcome. But then I decide not because I'm really, really tired, you know. And then the second spiritual words say to me, "This is a new year. Are you really wanted to start the year with the Candy Crush, something like this? You know, with, why don't you do something new?" And then I said, "Yes, you know, yes, exactly. It's the year 2016, and early do something new, you know." And then the next day, the morning, you know, I couldn't sleep, but I only slept like 2 or 3 hours. I get up and to talk to my husband. "Hey, dear husband, I think Holy Spirit talked to me about the Candy Crush. I think I'm going to quit." And my husband was like, look at me, say, "Really?" You know, yes. And I said, you know, if I don't make my decision, I wouldn't tell you that. You know, I don't want to play games like that. So if I tell him, I'm not, that's 2 years effort, you know. And then I said, I'm doing something new. So I said, "Oh, Scott, last year I saw one marriage book. You know, that's from, I steal from Cindy, the little Bible, because I borrow from her, so I need to make effort to read that. So I crossed the road, line, and, you know, to help me to remember, because I wanted to be able to share with her. That's what I learned. And then I really, really read a lot, because it's somebody's book, it's not mine, you know. So then I feel bad to Scott. I say, "You see, Scott, I really messed up the book that I borrowed from Cindy, you know. I couldn't return. So before the Christmas, I bought her that book back because I really enjoyed that book. I want to give that book back to her, and I want her to enjoy that too." So then the marriage book that we are start today, just because I have the Holy Spirit talk to me in the morning, and then I told my husband, "Let's move on for the new marriage book, and I'm willing to do with you."
Thank you. I know it's a new year, and I shared last Sunday as a way upon the Lord. The Lord's words for this church is, in the beginning, is arise and shine. I think in certain way, I let, you know, Scott and Angela, I particularly want Angela to respond, because, you know, we as a husband or as wife, many times we see from our perspective. We don't know exactly other party's view, which is very important. Amen? Maybe we feel it's a breakthrough, a victory. Another party feels it's not, because they don't have faith. It's just different perspective. It's very important because God brought us together. I think it's wonderful. You can start a new year with the word of the Lord. I think even more important is not just have the word of the Lord. You spend time in the presence of God. Let the Lord speak to you through His word. If we are quiet, He will speak. The thing is, after the Lord speaks to us, we have to obey. God doesn't just give you advice, okay? God gives you is a command. I really mean it, right? We worship Him, the presence of the Lord. I mean, Ricky shared today about God, Elijah. You know, and I really appreciate, Ricky, the way you led today. You spent a lot of time, and I really feel you... Somehow God gave you the gift in worship. I want to really encourage you, is it doesn't matter, you know, how musical you are. Because I'm going to share with you, there's a lady in China called, I even forgot her name, 叫小什么, they all call Xiao. I forgot about what Xiao. She probably only graduated from elementary school. Xiaoming, yeah. I think she graduated, she didn't have much education. And but she converted by the Lord, you know, suffered a lot for the kingdom, you know, put in the jail and ran away from the persecution. And the Lord gave her the gift. Because she prayed a lot, the Lord gave her a gift to write songs, worship songs. So powerful, very simple, but very powerful. And I remember in one occasion, I saw this DVD, one occasion, all the Christian leaders from China, you know, in the North America and China, they get together in San Francisco. They have big rally in Bay Area. That's a landmark event. They mentioned about her story, and she came forward, and she is so influential in China right now. It's amazing. She didn't have any, even one day musical education. So inspired. She wrote so many songs. So I really encourage you. You continue. You need any help, you can ask Joni. You know, she has been trained, but it's more important you listen to the Lord. You can always polish your musical things. There's no end for that. But spiritually, it's so important. We need to operate in the Spirit. Okay, today I will continue my sermon. Cindy, I apologize to not allowing you, but you have the first one to say next Sunday, for sure. If you haven't, didn't have a chance. Today, I'd like to share the topic is be ready to read. Wow. It's even the sermon title even not correct. It's be alert and be ready to receive the Lord's return. Okay, maybe a different title there. But I feel this is such a important is to be alert, to be ready. I feel the challenge for the Christian in America is we always had the mindset of peacetime. It's very amazing that, not amazing, maybe Ricky saw the topic today and he prepared about day of Elijah, right? How many of you know what's the context of the days of Elijah? Yeah, I know, but spiritually, what kind of day was that? In which way was dark, particularly? Yeah, more than that, right? And Elijah even complained to God, say, all the prophets have been killed or in prison. I am the only one. Well, we are in a time very similar to that. And I do encourage you, arise. I really appreciate Scott and Angela shared just now. That's called a breakthrough. Brother and sister, we need to grow up. Can no one just same old, same old? This nation is very different from 30 years ago spiritually. Very different. Do you know that? Very different. Very hostile to our faith. It's very challenging, every corner. We do want to reach out, but you cannot reach out just by skill, by activity. People are no more interested in that. We need to have a substance. The substance is not just the words. The substance is the presence of God. Amen? Amen? You agree? When we worship here, we don't just say, oh, this sounds very good. Yeah, there is Elijah, very cool, and I feel good. No, you need to know what the context, what's the background days of Elijah. Okay. I would like to share with you about today. Be alert and be ready for the Lord's second coming. First of all, I'd like to share with you about background and context of the Lord's teaching about this. Let's read Matthew 24, verse 1 to 3. Let's read together. 1 to 3. Yeah. Yeah, 24. Yeah, thank you. Luke, I need your help. No, 24, verse 1 to 3. I didn't give you that one, right? Okay.
Jesus left.
Okay, let's go. Let's go.
Jesus left the temple.
No, verse 1. Verse 1. Yeah. It's okay. We go slow. Okay. Maybe we need to bring our Bible.
Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call him. Here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down.
Okay, just on the regular day when Jesus walked away from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and his disciples joined him, and then they have a conversation. When the disciples saw the temple there, it's called the second temple. It's beautiful. And they say, wow, how great this. And Jesus responded to them surprisingly. Jesus started to give a prophetic word. He said, this all will be ruined. And the disciple then asked him, when will this be? When will be the sign or the end time? So I like to see the temple. We can see there too, but I want you to see here too. Do you see? Temple is almost in the center of the Jerusalem, right? That's everything is the center on this. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I went to Florida. There's a kind of biblical literature of Disneyland. I bought this. I'm so happy I bought this because after service, you can see yourself. This is the temple, the holy temple that Jesus went. And you can see the picture there. That's a big one. That's the sanctuary, okay? You can see books many ways. Okay, this is the sanctuary. This is the most holy of the holies inside here. There's an outside court. They have different names. It's almost like a castle. Do you see that? Almost like a castle. Yeah. Oh, you do it for me. You're my sister. This is different from what you see on the... Because you can see the real here. It's a big place. Almost like a castle, like a... And this from the front door and go inside all the way in. It's a very beautiful. And Patrick, can you show us a different one, different angle? There's many. Yeah, it's a test for you today. Yeah, there's a. This is not. This is a mosque. 没有, 就在同样地方. Yeah, same place. Yeah, different. Because you get an idea. But why because we need to know why disciples ask that questions and how Jesus responded. Yeah, the next one, you just click the next one. Yeah, you see the same thing, huh? So you can continue. Okay. I don't know. They have an explanation. I'm not expert at that. I just try to find a picture. But I think it's very... It'll be interesting you spend some time to know the structure of the temple, you know, to know in Jesus' time. As a matter of fact, it's good, you know, for our church if we can go to the Holy Land sometime. There's no temple there any longer, just a mosque there. But there's a ruin there, there's a lot of story. It's very helpful. But anyway, you know, it's a beautiful, glorious structure. It's very interesting that the background and the context of Jesus' teaching about the second coming, the time and the sign, it was in this context. And the disciples saw the building and said, wow, how beautiful, how great this. Jesus, I tell you, truly, truly, I tell you, this will be ruined. There's not even one stone on top of another stone. And it was fulfilled in the 70 AD when Jews rebelled against Rome. The Roman legion come and ruin destroy whole Jerusalem, the city. And the reason there's not one stone on the top of another because the soldier heard there's a rumor there's a gold in the city. So they try to find out. They dig out everything and they take apart everything, fulfill what Jesus said. But it was very interesting when Jesus tried to respond to disciples, he also started to teach about the sign of the last days. And Jesus gave a thorough teaching on that. And I think it's worthwhile for all of you in the beginning of the year to read Matthew 24. It's very detailed. It's so detailed. As I prepare in the last few days, I feel a little bit shocked and scared about what Jesus described is already fulfilled so much in our days. You can read yourself. He mainly say, do not be deceived. Etc., etc. But the mainly the Lord taught there is you need to know the time, the season we are in, and to be alert. But among all of that teaching today, I will share with you is about his second coming, particularly about a date and time. The first point I would like to share is, how about let's read Matthew chapter 24. I apologize to Patrick. I didn't give you the Matthew whole chapter. Verse 36 to 39. Let's read that together. This is a very important message. I appreciate your patience to listen and participate. Let's read together. No one knows. Not the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so you will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, is that very clear? The first thing we see here is the day and time of his second coming is totally unknown. Almost a top secret. Only person knows is God the Father. Very interesting. Huh? A lot of people say, oh, why the God Father know God the Son doesn't know? I cannot talk with you about that today. That will be another sermon. But I think it's very important is we don't know the date and time. May I ask you, dear brother and sister, what's the last book of the Bible? What's the Revelation really about? It's not only Jesus. It's not only second coming. Even about second coming, after he come, what will be, right? Is that important? It depends. I'm so busy. I don't have time to think about his second. I just wonder, every time in our Holy Communion, I talk about that, right? I say, the Holy Communion tell us his first coming already. Remind us for the second coming. I just wonder, how when you hear the second coming of Jesus, Jesus will come back, what kind of feeling do you have right now? Just tell me honestly. Rogelio? Yeah. Concerned about what? Oh, I think you're so good. You're right on the... Okay. I think he gave the answer. I think that's exactly the point. That's my message today. We need to be ready, be alert, and be ready. But a lot of people, you know, enemy want us to go extreme. Some people become a non-extreme. They try to be a dead setter, right? That happens so many times, right? They say, oh, the Jesus will come, you know, 2000, 2008, 2009, right? The last one was Harold Camping, right? I forgot which day, which year. It's 2012. You will continue to hear all this prediction, say, which date, which year the Lord will come back. But I will tell you, the answer is here very clearly. Jesus said, nobody knows. Amen? If Bible tells us don't do that, then don't try to do that because you will hurt yourself, hurt so many people. Dear brother and sister, that's very important. If the Lord tells us don't do something, we don't try it, right? Don't waste our time. Secondly, Jesus say here is very alarming. He say he will return at a time that people expect the least. And the interesting, today, you know, inspiration, you talk about day of Elijah. But Jesus described the days he will return. The context will be the days of Noah. How many of you know the trace of days of Noah? We don't have time to read all the scripture. But there are two traits. One is all corrupt. Another is violence. Very violent. In the Genesis, God say that. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight. It's important. In God's sight, God can see whole things. And was full of violence. Dear brother and sister, why Jesus didn't use any other days to refer to the return of Jesus, his return. He used the days of Noah because there's similarity. Is the violence is the major problem, one of the major problems in America right now? Particularly with gun, right? So people think about how to legalize, how to control, how to screen the background people. But have you ever thought about that even more important is not just guns? Who use the guns? People use guns, right? It's the people need to be changed. I think we need both, right? We need to control the guns. We need to control people too. But how can we control people unless people know who is the Lord? Amen? Unless we have a value system, it's a kingdom value system. So it was a very evil days in Noah's day. So are today's. But the challenging thing here is, it's not just the similarity is evil, but also he say on Noah's day. When I was prepared last night, I just realized, have you realized that Noah's days, that was the first destruction of the whole earth? All the people wiped out. Okay, let's relax a little bit. How many years did Noah build the ark? 100 years. God gave the warning to the whole world, 100 years. What do you think about those people? They saw Noah build a boat on the top of the hill. Actually, Noah built the ark on the very high ground, you know. It's very far away from the sea. You can start do it. Go to Modesto, you start to build a boat there. And people will ask questions like, hey, Mr. Noah, what are you doing here? Then he starts to share, right? The Lord told me the whole earth is corrupt in his eyes and full violence. You know, he's going to send a flood. So if you were one of the crowd, how will you respond to Noah's act? Now that's Marlene, ha ha. Not necessarily everybody, ha ha ha. Okay, I tell you, I see people respond. Some people say, wow, what kind of boat you will build, you know? And I'm interesting, you know? And I leave my cell phone, my phone number, you can give me a call. And, you know, I'm constructor, you know, maybe I can help you, you know? I can, oh, you will put all the animal there? Wow, I love animal, and animal right activist. And what I try to say, this is not an issue. The issue is the whole earth is corrupt, full of violence. The end is coming. So from day one he built the ark, it took 100 years. And dear brothers, that's a warning to us. When people hear, oh, second coming is near, and they say, ah. And that's exactly the point Jesus said here. Those people drink, eat, marry and give married. Everything goes on. Dear brother and sister, as we face a new year, I encourage you, challenge you, don't let this year to be same old, same. Because the Lord will come in a day you don't expect. One time people argue about this. On a whole week scale, which day he will come back? We all agree it won't be Sunday. It won't be Sunday. Because it's been a regular day. Everything going on. Sunday, people more alert. They may draw near to God. But that's not the point. The point is he will come back on the day you don't expect. And Jesus, just listen to what Jesus taught. He said, because in the days of Noah, people eat and drink, marry and get to marry. And they didn't know. And the flock came and swept them away. It's not just a thing about movie. It's a reality. And Jesus say, in the parallel way, I will come back. Actually, in the same chapter, he say, it's just like a thief in the night. I feel we need to read the Bible clearly. A lot of people read that and they say, oh, Jesus is a thief in the night. No, Jesus say, my return will be like a thief in the night you don't expect. Amen? If you expect someone to come to take stuff, he's no more thief. So I think that's very challenging. And then after that, Jesus taught a lot of things, and he gave a timeless and timely parable. It's of 10 virgins. Let's read that, okay? I really don't have much time. Can someone read for me? The Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to you. Okay, let's read together. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamb and went out to meet the bridegroom. Foolish and five were wise. The foolish one took their lamb, but did not take any oil with them. Virgin walk on, trim their lamps. The foolish ones say to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. Let the others also come. Sir, sir, they say, open the door for us. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know. I tell you this parable, if you know the ancient Jewish wedding custom, you will feel this parable so rich, so powerful. Because what Jesus tried to say here is exactly according to the Jewish wedding, the custom. I have a very limited time. I just will describe that in a couple minutes because I already done that. I have done the Jewish custom of engagement for a couple, and that's why I spent some time to do research on this. Long story in short is in the Jewish custom, their wedding have two parts. First part is engagement. Okay, I use modern words. Second part is the actual wedding. In the engagement, the bridegroom goes to the bride's house, give her a gift. There's a lot of ceremony and do that. And after that, he returned. Just listen to this. Really parallel what Jesus is doing on his earthly life. After that, the bridegroom returned to his father's house to prepare a chamber for the coming wedding and the new room, new house for his bride. So he returned. And the bride while waiting, the length of time could be 12 months. So the bridegroom will be gone for maximum to 12 months. So the bride has to wait and wait and wait. And during that time, the bride has to purify herself. She cannot meet other guys. She had to focus on waiting and prepare herself for the bridegroom to return. And the Jewish custom for the bridegroom return is on a certain date. He will not notify the bride. He just come back that day. And that day will be late, usually about midnight. They are shouting, they are dancing, and they will come to the bride and pick her up and return to bridegroom's house. And they have celebration. And they will be together, and they were 7 days to be in the same room, and they become husband and wife then, and they have celebration. And that's the context of the Jesus parable. In this parable, there are five wise virgin and five foolish. What are the difference between them? Yes, that's the point. Okay, there are a few points here. They were in the same situation. They all waiting. They all fell asleep, and they all woke up, right? Secondly, but they prepare and respond very differently. The wise one is the one who have the oil stored, and they respond well, right? Whenever the bridegroom arrive, they are ready, they trim their lamp, they are ready. And the foolish one say, can I borrow some oil from you? I say, sorry, I can't. Actually, you cannot borrow any oil from other people. And then finally, the result is very different. One entered the banquet, another, they went to buy oil. It was too late. The door was closed, and they knocked the door. The Lord said, I don't know you. What's the lesson for them? First, we must be alert and be ready. Be watchful and store the oil. A lot of people want to ask the question, what is the oil? Oil is your relationship, your intimate relationship with God. Write down this. This is so important. You cannot borrow anybody's oil. You need to have the oil in your lamp. Lamp is you. You are the vessel of God, right? Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You're just a vessel. But if you don't have the oil in you, you cannot have a light. The five foolish ones, they didn't have oil. As a matter of fact, the Bible says here, I have limited time, but this is very crucial. Is the Bible says they didn't prepare the oil. That's why their lamp has nothing there. But out of five, they prepare the oil. You not just have oil, you need to prepare the oil will last longer. Amen? Because the return of bridegroom is uncertain. He can come back any time. I think the second lesson is storing oil first, then the ministry. If you don't have loving relationship with God, you continue to serve and serve and serve, you'll be burned out. Going to have an anxiety disorder or even depression, because there's a lot of darkness when you serve, a lot of discouragement, conflict, this and that, unless you walk closely with the Lord. So how to store the oil? First, one thing's needed, we know that. I do encourage you, we hear somebody share, you know, husband and wife, you can have a devotion together, will be a blessing. You read God's word, you wait upon the Lord, you sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him and watch his beauty. I think also how to store oil from being God's worker to be his friend and to be his lover. Actually, to be his bride. That'll be other sermon. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. May you bless your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we worship here?